White.
Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, July 19th, 1903. My dear son, Edson, you speak in your letter that I received yesterday of your intention of getting out some new books. I am in favor of this, because the old edition of Patriarchs is selling fairly well. We are now at work on a sketch of the efforts that have been put forth for the colored people in the South. I hope that this book will be a help to the Southern field. At present, I am very short of funds. I have no money in the bank. In fact, I have overdrawn my account there. I hope that some money will come in soon. I think that I shall bend my energies toward getting out some new books until things become more settled. Then we shall better understand what we ought to do in regard to getting out a new edition of Patriarchs and Prophets. I think that a new edition of The Life of Paul should be published. I shall make some additions to this book, however, before it is republished. I am going to make an effort to prepare a history of our stay and work in Europe. I shall get together the talks that I gave while there and publish them with the historical sketch, most of which is in the book published some years ago on this subject. Then, sometime, I want to get out a history of my work in Australia. So, you see, we have much work laid out before us. I think that we can accomplish it, if my head keeps clear. I have freedom and success in writing, but at my age I must be careful not to overtax my brain. The last two Sabbaths I have spoken at the sanitarium. Sister Kerr from Honolulu, who is staying at the sanitarium, says that the patients are delighted with my talks. They say that they have never heard anything like them. They can hardly believe, Sister Kerr says, that I am 74 years old. When Sister Kerr told me this, I said, "On the 26th of November next, I shall be 76 years old. My health is good. My appetite is excellent. I find that the simpler my food and the fewer the varieties I eat, the stronger I am. I take a bath every day, sometimes two. It makes little difference to me whether the bath is hot or cold. I prefer a cold bath in the morning and a moderately warm one at night. Some mornings I get up at 4 o'clock, but generally I am up at 3. I thank the Lord for the good health that I enjoy. I thank him that he has preserved my reasoning powers. I know that this is a miracle wrought by his mercy. I am so thankful. If I can live until I can get my writings in shape and before the people, I shall be very grateful. There is much to be done, and the doing of it will take time. But we can accomplish much if we work carefully, and in such a way that the Lord can work with us. I must stop now for the present, for it is growing dark. I pray every day for you and Emma, and for all who are connected with you in your work. If you will have faith, God will help you, and that wonderfully. I believe that the Lord hears my prayers, and then I go to work to answer my prayers, which I am sure are indicted by the Lord. I am of good courage. Let us not overtax the strength that the Lord gives us. We are to preserve our brain power. If we abuse this power, we shall have no deposit to draw from in times of emergency. Monday morning, 3 o'clock. There is one thing that I want to caution you about. Do not fret or worry. It does not pay to do this. Do not try to do too much. If you do not undertake too much, you will succeed in accomplishing much more than if you try to carry out too many plans. Constantly bear in mind the words of Christ: "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Mark 14, verse 38. Christ is your personal Savior. Believe that His saving power is exercised in your behalf, minute by minute, hour by hour. He is by your side in every time of need. The Holy Spirit is our guide and sanctifier. This Spirit indites the prayers of the sincere believer and bears witness to his sonship, witness to his adoption into the family of God. We cannot afford to allow the enemy to obtain the advantage over us in the slightest particular. We cannot afford to allow him to put his impress on thought, word, or deed. We are set apart for service. God claims us as his property, for he has bought us with the blood of his only begotten Son. Trusting in God.
With the continual change of circumstances, changes come in our experience, and by these changes we are either elated or depressed. But the change of circumstances has no power to change God's relation to us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he asks us to have unquestioning confidence in his love. Satan watches his opportunity to bring about circumstances that will tend to arouse unbelief, hoping to lead us to doubt God. We cannot afford to cherish one thought of unbelief. When we are tempted to look on the dark side, let us open the windows of the soul heavenward, that the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness may shine in. Let us draw near to God. He has promised that as we do this, he will draw near to us and lift up for us a standard against the enemy. The efficiency of his keeping power has in no wise decreased. Let faith stand its trial without wavering, for Christ is a perfect Savior. Laboring in harmony with God. You may look upon your plans as perfect, but God may see that it is essential for you to suffer disappointment in order that your plans may be brought into harmony with his plan. His way is always the right way. He seeth and knoweth all things. We do not always see as he sees, therefore changes must be made in our plans. In your character building, be sure to labor in cooperation with the master builder, that at last he may pronounce your character perfect. Remember that you are a laborer together with God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with fear lest your natural temperament shall come in to spoil Christ's plan for you. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Do not be satisfied without a living faith. The Holy Spirit always leads to the written word and points to the duties and obligations specified in that word, which are bound up with the promises and assurances. Take your stand on the Word of God. Whatever may occur, hold fast the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end. Plausible theories will be presented, theories that have no foundation in the Word of God. Accept them not. If you should accept them, they would weaken your faith in the truth that we have received point by point in the history of the past, and which has placed our feet in the narrow path of holiness. We shall have to meet seducing spirits. We shall be tried and tested on every point. Let us stand firm in the position defined for us as a people by the Lord God of Israel. Let us hold fast the beginning of our confidence, firm unto the end. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. John 5, verse 39. Do not remove the landmarks that have been established by the Holy Spirit's witness. He who inspired the Scriptures will test everything in our religious life by the Scriptures. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verse 20. Even the work of the Spirit within is tested and tried by the word. Some will claim that they have the Holy Spirit's guidance, when in reality they are guided by another spirit, which the Word will not vindicate. The sum must be proved. Those who claim to have the Holy Spirit must be tested by a "Thus saith the Lord." The written Word is to decide all questions. Truth never fails. everything else will be shaken. Truth may, for a time, in the minds of honest souls, be mingled with error. But as these souls daily search the scriptures and pray for guidance, they will be led into all truth. Guided by God, they will not call truth error, and error truth. How to gain spiritual strength. Bible truth is spoken of as the flesh and blood of the Son of God. Our spiritual strength depends on our receiving the Word of God and practicing its teaching. As we do this, the soul is filled with health and growth and spiritual soundness, to which the Spirit sets its seal. In the 6th chapter of John, Christ repeats over and over again the lesson in regard to the bread of life. His words are clear, definite, positive. "I am the bread of life," he declares. Verse 35. "The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Verses 33-34. They were thinking of the miracle that he had wrought in feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Christ was trying to lead their minds to higher truth, trying to show them that he himself is the bread of life, that if they would have eternal life, they must receive him, believe in him, become one with him, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. "I am the bread of life," he said. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Verse 35. Then he charged the Jews with their unbelief. "But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verses 36-40. The Jews murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread of life which came down from heaven." Verse 41. Satan had gained access to their minds, and with subtle, deceiving power he was striving to prevent them from yielding to evidence. "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" they said. "How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be all taught of God.' Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Verses 42-51. "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." Verses 57-63. Oh, how much is comprehended in this chapter! May the Holy Spirit help us to understand and obey the truths that it contains. These truths are everything to us. All may have the glorious inheritance reserved in heaven for those who love God. It is the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom to those who believe in Him. To Abraham and to his seed, to every believing soul, the promises are made. But in order to obtain this inheritance, we must believe in Christ as a personal Savior. We must reveal His character to the world. Those who do not comply with the conditions that He has laid down, those who do not receive and believe His words, will lose eternal life. It is not through human inventions, but through relationship with Christ that the kingdom of heaven is obtained. Through obedience to the laws of this kingdom, we are made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We must give proof that we believe in Christ as our Savior and our Redeemer. We must resemble Him in character. Only as we are one with Him here can we be one with Him in the hereafter. Those who are fitting themselves for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for those who become one with Him in God will at last enter into possession of a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. They are able to say, "The Lord is my portion, therefore will I hope in Him." Lamentations 3, verse 24. In order to share in Christ's glory, we must share in His suffering. We read of Him, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered." Hebrews 5, verse 8. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, 18.
Let us have courage in the Lord. I dare not advise you to enter into the warfare. You are not prepared to battle with counter influences. You are not in a physical condition to endure the strain. Do not engage in controversy, for time spent in controversy is time lost. Dwell upon the preparation of soul that each must have who shall meet Jesus in peace. Tell your troubles to God. Do not load yourself down with burdens. Take them to the one who knows how to bear them. In your discourses, dwell upon the joy and glory that the overcomer will receive. Think of how happy we shall be. We shall see His face, and His name shall be in our foreheads. See Revelation 22, verse 4. What joy it will be to dwell in Christ's presence through the ceaseless ages of eternity. Let us live in close communion with Christ, that we may catch the light shining from His face. Let us hold communion with God before we go forth to speak to the people. Let us impart light and joy to those with whom we are connected in service. I am in sympathy with you in your endeavor to get out some new books. Remember that we pray for you every day.